Most love stories end with a kiss, a proposal, or a wedding. But what happens after the credits roll? What about the arguments over IKEA furniture, the sleepless nights with colicky babies, or the quiet resentments that build over decades? The Course of Love follows Rabi and Kirsten from their first meeting through years of marriage, revealing that real romance isn't about finding perfection, but navigating imperfection together. Their journey shows us that true love isn't a destination, but a continuous process of learning, unlearning, and growth. What makes their story remarkable isn't its uniqueness, but its universality. The everyday challenges that all couples face, but rarely discuss openly. 15-year-old Rabi watches a French girl eating chocolate mousse in a hotel lobby and constructs an entire relationship in his mind without exchanging a single word. This pattern continues into adulthood. Intense longings for strangers glimpsed on the London Underground or at work conferences. Each time believing he's found his soulmate based on nothing more than intuition. When Rabi meets Kirsten during an Edinburgh library project, their professional relationship evolves naturally into romance, culminating in a first kiss among towering Victorian palm houses. But what makes this beginning significant isn't its sweetness, but what it represents. Our cultural obsession with how love starts rather than how it continues. Movies end with weddings, novels conclude with proposals, but the real love story begins after the honeymoon. It unfolds in quiet moments of compromise, in the daily choice to remain present, in the unglamorous work of building a shared life. Romance exists not in perfect understanding, but in the reality of choosing to understand each other, day after day, when staying would be harder than leaving. What draws Rabi and Kirsten together goes deeper than attraction. It's about complementary qualities each believes might complete them. During a bicycle trip, Kirsten calmly fixes Rabi's malfunctioning bike while frustration overwhelms him, revealing their natural balance. Rabi falls for Kirsten's steadiness, the stable presence he's lacked since his mother's death. Kirsten is drawn to his international background that contrasts with her provincial Scottish upbringing, seeing in him escape from her childhood limitations. Their attraction operates through vulnerability, each recognizing in the other a safe harbor for their deepest insecurities. When visiting Kirsten's mother, Rabi learns about her father's abandonment. Similarly, Kirsten comforts Rabi about his mother's death, both understanding how these early wounds shape them. Rabi proposes after watching Kirsten dance with unconscious grace under starlight. Yet his motivation isn't purely romantic. He loves Kirsten deeply, but equally hates being alone, reflecting why we choose partners, not just for who they are, but for what they save us from. They marry in a modest ceremony, exchanging vows promising lifelong companionship. A hopeful, generous, infinitely kind gamble taken by two people who don't know yet who they are or who the other might be. Newlyweds Rabi and Kirsten discover marriage involves navigating countless silly things that reveal deeper differences. Their first serious conflict erupts in IKEA over glass tumblers, Kirsten preferring decorative ones while Rabi insists on plain versions. Tensions emerge over bedroom temperature, punctuality, and storytelling styles, revealing fundamental contrasts neither fully articulates. What saves them is poor memory. By afternoon, they barely recall morning arguments and perspective. During walks in nature, they laugh at their own insignificance. More serious issues arise when Rabi sulks after feeling slighted by Kirsten's friends, revealing a desire for wordless understanding. When Rabi incorporates fantasies about another woman into their intimate life, Kirsten's silence shows how romanticism has redefined natural attraction as threatening. Their relationship improves when they acknowledge these patterns with humor, recognizing they don't need to be perfectly reasonable, just occasionally willing to admit they might be somewhat insane. In Berlin for a conference, Rabi meets Lauren in a hotel bar. His attention divides between her words and what she symbolizes, all the people he has ever admired but learned not to be curious about since his wedding day. Despite thoughts of his children, he realizes how simple it would be to explode his life simply by moving his hand 10 centimeters to the left. In her room, they make love, awakening a version of himself which he had long thought dead. At home, he maintains normalcy through attentive childcare. Rabi struggles to see his actions as inherently wrong. Through Romanticism's lens, adultery represents the one seismic transgression, challenging the belief that true love eliminates desire for others. He questions whether monogamy signifies generosity or constraint. Perhaps true love would permit occasional pleasure with others. When Lauren's messages intensify, Rabi tearfully ends things, recognizing the painful truth. The faithful spouse sacrifices spontaneity, while the libertine destroys security. There is no solution, he concludes, accepting disappointment as inevitable in relationships. After years of deflecting issues with humor, a violent argument drives Rabi and Kirsten to therapy. They meet Mrs. Fairburn, whose unassuming presence masks her expertise in problems of the couple. Their sessions reveal how everyday moments can breed catastrophes. The therapist introduces attachment theory, explaining how childhood experiences create either anxious attachment, controlling, reassurance-seeking, or avoidant attachment, needing space, withdrawing during conflict. Their sessions expose how Rabi's reactions stem from abandonment fears after his mother's death, while Kirsten, shaped by her father's volatility, perceives aggression rather than vulnerability. Mrs. Fairburn helps them recognize their destructive pattern. Rabi anxiously attacks when feeling abandoned, triggering Kirsten's withdrawal when feeling threatened. They learn to identify these dynamics in real time, even playfully naming their attachment styles during disagreements. They come to view therapy as the greatest invention of the age, and recognize love as a skill requiring continuous development. After 16 years together, Rabi feels truly ready for marriage, not from achieving perfection, but from finally abandoning its pursuit. For Kirsten's birthday, Rabi arranges an overnight stay at a Highland Castle hotel. This rare escape transforms their relationship. They treat each other with unaccustomed formality, as if having an affair. Over dinner with expensive wine, they explore unfamiliar conversations. Kirsten discusses reconnecting with her estranged father, while Rabi sees his wife anew, appreciating her fundamental mystery. The alcohol dissolves their usual barriers. She accepts his compliments without deflection, feeling brave enough to be weak. They reaffirm their commitment to their battle-hardened, sparred version of love, proud of persisting when separation would have been easier. Later, as Rabi sets up a family photo against Ben Nevis, he contemplates how this moment might be viewed in the future, heightening his appreciation for the present. He recognizes the quiet heroism of ordinary life, managing anxiety, controlling frustration, persevering through difficulties. What makes their love beautiful isn't perfection, but persistence, continually choosing each other despite disappointments. True love is navigating life's imperfections together with wisdom, humor, and grace.